You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Our number two, Fantasy Sports Today, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Parson, the Fantasy Executive. My man, Tony Sincotta, coming up in the next hour. We're going to talk about fandom in sports, professional sports. Also got the finalists for the NBA Hall of Fame, the Basketball Hall of Fame. That's why I always tell people, the NBA does not have a Hall of Fame. Basketball has a Hall of Fame. So you got to look at and judge these players a little bit differently. Plus, we talked about Adam Silver in the first hour and some of the things that he is working on and discussing on as the NBA moves forward. And hour number two, we'll look at some of the things the NFL need to discuss in the offseason. My man, Tony Sincotta, what's going on with you, buddy?
I'll tell you what, you know what? We've got a crazy time. We've got all sorts of sports going on. We're getting all fired up, a little NBA All-Star game. If you were going to one All-Star game, what would you do? What would you do? Which one would you go to?
I've actually been to an NBA All-Star game. I would like to go to a Major League Baseball All-Star game also. I think that would be cool to see that. I definitely want to see a home run derby. That's something that's on my bucket list. So, and then Major League Baseball, just the end game, the ballpark experience, I think is very fun. But I have been to an NBA All-Star game, Tony. I got tickets from, you probably wouldn't remember the rapper, Warren G was a... A buddy of mine's his first cousins with Warren G, amazingly. And we went to Philadelphia for All-Star Weekend in Philadelphia some years ago. Maybe about might have been over a decade ago now. Yeah, my son was a baby. My son was like 1 year old. My son wasn't walking yet when we went to the game. And had an NBA All-Star game in Philadelphia. This is the All-Star game where the Philadelphia crowd, this is a good segue, Tony, where the Philadelphia crowd actually booed hometown guy Kobe Bryant. That was the All-Star game that I was at. Kobe won the MVP in Philly and got booed. I was at that game.
I remember that one. Yeah, that's crazy because, of course, Kobe goes in the Lakers. But, you know, it's funny making him a hometown guy because he was a guy that his dad played professional sports outside the United States. So he was a guy that played
He went to Lower Merion High School right outside of Philadelphia. When you talk to people in Philly about Kobe Bryant, they say they do not put Kobe in with Philadelphia athletes.
Yeah,
I find that interesting.
They don't want to own him. You know, it's crazy. I went to a home run hitting contest at Fenway Park.
Oh,
and
Albert Pujols won.
Ken Griffey Jr. won.
Ooh,
and Ken Griffey Jr. was in it. Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, back in the steroid heydays.
I think I remember that one. They was launching them all out into the street, right?
Yeah, and they were killing each other for balls outside.
Yeah. It's funny you call it the steroid heyday. Oh, man, a lot of 550-feet bombs being hit in that part. Yeah. That All-Star game I went to, Tony, was also known for the play where Tracy McGrady threw it alley-oop to himself off the backboard.
Yeah, Tracy McGrady actually participated in the celebrity game.
Yeah.
And he blocked a big-time shot off PGA golfer Bubba Watson driving the lane.
Oh, it's really showing off when Tracy McGrady is blocking Bubba Watson's shot. Come on, Tracy McGrady. We need to do a better job than that.
Bubba Watson, man, plays in the celebrity game during an active golf tournament, right? Right now, and he's leading.
Wow, look at that. Look at Bubba Watson getting it done. So that's interesting right there. I saw the celebrity game the other night that was on television. I'm watching it was on in the background. I wasn't really watching that. I wish you was able to bet on the MVP of that, Tony, because the guy who won the MVP, I knew he was going to win the MVP. So I was looking all around to see if I could find odds on that, but I couldn't. So the guy from the rapper, I knew he was going to win that because he used to be an all-state quarterback in Georgia. And he's a very good athlete. I knew he was going to come out there and win that MVP. So I wish I could have put a couple dollars on that. But then that would have been like kind of Gabe Morency when you start betting on the MVP of the celebrity game at All-Star Weekend.
Yeah. You didn't go a little you weren't going to go a little Justin Bieber?
I figured it was going to be either Quavo or Bieber. And Quavo finished off winning the MVP. And I think Bieber would have been second.
really. Yeah, Quavo was a guy. Actually, people were talking about how – I was reading some things about how he was a good athlete, and I had never heard of him. You know, I didn't. He get an opportunity playing that game. That's pretty cool. We should get someone from the Fantasy Sports Network in the NBA All-Star game.
Yeah,
celebrity.
That would be cool if we could get to that level. So that would be very nice. We'll send Scott Engel out there, because Scott Engel, I swear he got that jump shot from the corner. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I was on a show last week with Gabe on YouTube. One of them is like, he goes, I remember we used to watch you guys in the morning, and he was like, everybody, you know, says crazy things, but you guys seem really mad at each other at times. Right? And he shouted out when Corey said, Engel was saying something, he would say, how about we at about 9 o'clock, I come out, we go out in the hall and I punch you in the face. And he goes, the fantasy executive really meant it.
It could have happened, Tony. You know, we've had this conversation before. Everybody that's worked with Scott Engel at some point has been like, you know what? Let's go outside. Speaking of taking it outside, Tony, I want to talk about fandom in this for a little bit right here, because you know, fans all across the United States are very hypocritical. And I thought about this last year when a situation took place out there in Boston with Adam Jones and, you know, fans calling Adam Jones with, you know, a racial epithet. And then you had an outpouring of other fans, other athletes saying, well, kind of when you go to Boston, you know it's going to happen. So you have that situation. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, you got a situation in Boston. People say this about Boston. Obviously, we always deride and go after fans of the Philadelphia sports teams of being, you know, kind of more out there, aggressive, ignorant type fans, do the wrong thing. But I'm also thinking to myself, everybody's saying that these fans are pointing to Boston, pointing to Philadelphia, pointing to this city, or pointing to that city, are very hypocritical. Because I've heard things at Yankee Stadium right there in the Bronx, Tony. I've heard things at Citi Field right there in Queens. And last night we had a situation in Chicago where NHL player goes to the penalty box and the fans in Chicago, you know, it was a black guy. What was his name? Devontae Smith-Pelly, player for the Washington Capitals. He goes to the penalty box, and the Blackhawk fans start coming towards the penalty box, chanting basketball, basketball, basketball.
Oh, which, Jesus.
Full disclosure, Tony, is one of the funniest things I ever heard. When I read that this morning, I was like, that was pretty good by them. They didn't have to use the N-word. They just started chanting basketball at him. Basketball, basketball, basketball. He gets upset. Four fans get thrown out the game, Tony. But for people to say that this is something that's relegated to Boston or relegated to Philadelphia, that's not true, Tony. This take place in venues all across the United States.
Yeah. All right. First off, I'll address this one. This is creative.
Mm-hmm.
This is humorous. And once again, I'm not black.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's funny, and I think it was okay. And I don't know if those fans should have been kicked out for that. But if they're using racial slurs like at games, I don't understand how other fans don't get involved and tell them, hey, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Like, I don't understand how it gets to get out of control. Because I've never been in a situation where I can remember being at a game where it was that out of control. You know, people get drunk. They get really too drunk at these things, right?
Yep.
And then they pay these high prices tickets, and they think they're entitled to do whatever the hell they want. And it's crazy. Foxborough was one of the worst stadiums ever when I was growing up. And Bob Kraft, when he owned the team, he said, you know what? We had to turn this into a family-friendly atmosphere, because it wasn't. I mean, people would piss on each other. They'd be throwing things. Like, it was like you would never bring a girl to Foxborough Stadium before Kraft owned it. And they try to crack down on some of that things immediately because it was acceptable. In Oakland, right?
Anything could happen. I'm about to say the black hole is wild.
Yeah. Anything could happen. And how do we allow these things to happen? We've seen the videos of these Philadelphia fans treating the Vikings fans like lunatics. It's insane to me what we do. We don't stop it. We videotape it.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. You pull out your phone and you videotape it. Now, this thing last night, I think it could have been a situation where obviously, like I said, the black player goes to the penalty box, the fans in Chicago, but they're like, the penalty box is so close to the fans, Tony. It's like, they're up on them, full of passion, full of alcohol, basketball. And I'm like, at first, I'm like, oh, that's pretty creative. But then I'm like, but I think they were so close and so aggressive. And the player, yeah. Tony, at that time, he's in the penalty box, so he just had something take place on ice, so his level of intensity is at an all-time high. And now you got these fans chanting, you know,
basketball
to him. He knows what they mean by when they're saying that, Tony. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. And let me get my man Pete Considorian on this. Is there a way where you can kind of isolate a player from the fans when they're in the penalty box? Because that situation, when these guys, Pete, were chanting at this player last night, they were kind of like up in his face.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can go on YouTube and see many videos of back in the day where hockey players have actually jumped out of the penalty box into the crowd and pull a crowd member into the penalty box with them so they could effectively kind of beat the crap out of them. But there's really no way that the penalty box is. I did see the incident last night. The way that the stadium, the arena is made, is that you can pay for tickets that are right up against the glass, and that also includes being right next to the penalty box and also right behind the benches. So you're up close and personal with those players and the players as well. You know, up close and personal with the fans. So it can get kind of testy, especially in that situation last night.
So that's what you saw last night go down, take place in Chicago, Tone. Now. Had a couple instances.
What's the worst thing you ever did at a game? Like, have you ever, been close enough that, like, you were like, I can really torment this guy? Like, have you ever done that, like, at any time during a game?
I know, you know, because you see, I haven't really been in a situation where, you know, I go have a good time, whatever, and then I'm like never in that. Obviously, in the NFL game, I'm never that close to where the player can actually hear me. I've been real close at some baseball games, but you know, baseball, and I'm only with, and if I'm in the baseball game, sitting up close like that, I'm with the kids. Now, me and my brother-in-law have gone to some games and sat in the bleachers, and A-Rod has popped up, and I may have said some things about Alex Rodriguez I shouldn't have. You know what I'm saying? Get back on the juice, you suck. You know what I mean? But nothing that, you know, where I'm talking about somebody's, you know, making a racial epithet to somebody like that, you know. Obviously, I'm not going to do that. But let's not act like this is a situation that is for specifically fans in Boston, Philadelphia. This happens at arenas all over the country, Tony. And I'm thinking to myself, at some point, we're going to see another situation like what took place at Auburn Hills.
Oh my God! You know, people don't realize that that Auburn Hills situation. Probably 20 years, maybe 25 years before that, the Boston Bruins went in the stands at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And Mike Milbury, who's a commentator now on the NHL Network, took a guy's shoe off and beat him with his shoe.
It's crazy how this happens, where these situations get so wild and out of control. Oh, yeah. With the
passion.
And
the fans deserve to get beat.
Yeah.
I mean, if a player's playing an NBA game, he's not going out of his way to fight in a crowd of 15,000 unless you just absolutely are out of control. Make it. He is never going to be the instigator ever, because it ain't worth the time, it ain't worth the energy. So if a player's going in the stands, you guys are out of control.
Tone, imagine the Malice in the Palace was before social media. Imagine if Twitter was around for the Malice in the Palace. That would have been the number one trend for a week. Tony, I have never seen anything like what took place at the Palace in Auburn Hills that night. I had never seen anything like that in my life. I was watching that game, and I was in my home scared of what I was looking at.
Yeah, it was absolutely insane. And Ron Artest, who goes to Meta World Peace, of course, now is starring in the Big Brother Celebrity Edition.
I didn't know that.
And he's like the calmest dude, like, in real life. And then he seems to lose it every once in a while. But he's a guy that, you know, was part of that whole situation. I don't know what to do about these people, because people are just generally in life have become worse.
It seems that way when you look at the situation. So that was interesting last night. But, you know, you got this in hockey. You got this in baseball. So this is not something that we can say is geared towards one specific fan base. This happens all over. We saw this year. I think it was, I'm not quite sure where, some fan, Klay Thompson, hit the deck. Fan in the front row, Tony, stood over him and called him a punk beep. And I'm like, oh, my God. And Klay Thompson had a look on his face like, yo, what's up? So, you know, some of the other players came over there. Oh, they were in Memphis, Tony. And security, the referee said, get security. And security immediately came over there and escorted the guy out. Like, these fans, Tony, you don't have a right to interact with the players that close. Russell Westbrook, a couple of weeks ago, pushed the fan out of his face, Tony.
There's people go to the games and they think they're part of the team. Like, they think, oh, if they cheer, like, that's going to help their team. You're nothing. You're a spectator. Just sit there and everybody wants to be part of the action, especially, you don't usually see it from those guys in the front row. That's a little crazy. And a lot of times, I don't know. I go to games and I'm just amazed at watching the fans. The fans sometimes are more entertaining than the product on the field or the court.
Especially when you look at venues like Madison Square Garden and Yankee Stadium. But I don't really think, listen, there's nothing really you can do. You can eject these guys from the game, but they'll get tickets to another game. So this goes on in all venues. Let's stop blaming Boston and Philadelphia and stuff like that. This goes on in your locale too, in your favorite town also. But Tony, the passion that the fans have nowadays, especially in some of these big time games, I do think we are going to see another incident where players go into the stands. So
it has to be the NBA though, right? Because it's
the easiest access to get into the crowd, and then you know, we already have situations in the NBA where players are getting a little bit too passionate and emotional. You don't want a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, Tony, coming up to your section.
No. I'm always afraid. Like, I think a Scotty Engel defender getting beat down by DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, there you go, right there. All-Star game tonight. Discussed in the first hour the brilliance of NBA Commissioner Silver. The NFL needs some things to be done in the offseason too. Myself and Tony will break that down. We come right back. Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Fantasy Executive Tony Sincotta, the Fantasy Shamer. A little bit later on in the program, I'll tell you the finalists for the Basketball Hall of Fame. They were announced yesterday, NBA All-Star Weekend. Tony, we talked earlier in the first hour about Adam Silver and the job he's doing in the NBA, and it looks like the NBA is in good hands with Commissioner Silver. I think he's the best commissioner in pro sports right now. NFL, Tony, though, we got some work to do with the NFL, though, Tony, because there's a lot of things that we saw this season that that is troublesome, problematic for the world's about this country's favorite sport. Major League Baseball is not this country's pastime. It could be this country's pastime, but the NFL is this country's passion. This is an organization, a league that owns a day of the week. But Tony, they got some work to do. And let's start off with the concussion policy and the concussion protocol. Obviously, this is important because if these concussions and these head injuries continue, you're going to see less and less people playing football. I already believe football is going to be a sport for no way out type of athlete where this is the only thing I got, this is the only thing I can do. We're starting to see people retire early, concussions playing a major role in this. Obviously, the NFL doesn't want this concussion thing to linger because they don't want to be hit with lawsuits once these players start retiring, CTE becoming the big thing, the movie concussion, the whole thing, Tony. We saw several. Go ahead.
This is a crazy. This one's tough for me because we grew up in a situation where you got a little dinged and you were I don't know any. I can't think of any other word to use. If you didn't get back out there and played, you were a pussy.
Yeah.
That's how people looked at you, right? And when we were growing up, and then you see what happened to players, and you see the devastating effects. And if you know some of these NFL players and to see them after they've played, it's rough. But I do think that players deserve the fundamental right to earn a lot of money mm-hmm. and play football. But they just need to know, and the NFL needs to be up and up in providing data on the effects of playing football and let players decide what they want to do and what do they play forward. Because here's the thing, like, everybody wants to, you know, live to the 80 or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if you were a millionaire and you lived to your 60 and you got everything you wanted in life and you set up your family for after you're gone? Some people might choose that.
And you got situations, Tony, where I'll take, for example, Devontae Freeman. I believe in the last 2 years, he's had 3, maybe 4 concussions. He's already said, Tony, he's not going to change his style of play. He's still going to...
You can't.
You can't, exactly. So I think some of these players already have it in their mentality, Tony, that I'm not going to change my style of play. I know this is going to be a thing moving forward. But like you said, he's choosing earning for his family right now. Currently highest paid running back in the NFL. This is it. He puts his head down. He hits pads like AFC North teams, Tony. And he's already said his style of play is not going to change. In the playoff game against the Rams, he delivered a big shot on somebody. Not going to change. But I think where the NFL looked bad with the concussion thing this year, you look where Russell Wilson got air-holed in that game. He goes in the tent, comes right back out. Cam Newton was clearly concussed in that game down the stretch this season. And then you had the other, I can't think of the other quarterback name, who was more or less going into a seizure, Tony, and was cleared by the concussion protocol in that same game. So we're seeing these guys go in there, and I think sometimes these celebrity players, these big quarterbacks in particular, Tony, if they grab their helmet and say they're going back on the field, the independent neurologist is not going to stop them. The guy watching in New York is not going to stop them. They're going to go back on the field, and it's got to be some kind of way to handle this situation from the NFL standpoint. Dr. A has come on these programs, Tony, and already said, you can test somebody right there, and their concussion symptoms can take place later on.
Yeah, but here's the problem I have with that. There is a way to do it. Nobody's going to like the answer. The only way to do it is if you have a head injury, you're out the rest of the game. That one game, you're out. Nobody wants that. Everybody wants to see their star players in, and that's the way to do it. But when they have these concussion tests, right, on the sideline, and I believe that the it's judgmental whether the guy responded to some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're the team doctor, or if you're you're the NFL guy that's there, you know what? Maybe I've been in Seattle 4 or 5 out of the 16 weeks, and I like these guys. And I think it's, 50-50 either way. Let them play.
And that's the situation right there. I think you're correct, Tony. I think the independent neurologist is not really independent.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. Like I said, the way to solve it is if you have a head injury, you can't play the rest of the game.
I think that's what it is right there, too.
Nobody wants to do that, though. And I can understand that because, people are going to look at it like that. But that would be – if they really, really wanted to do it, that's the way to do it. And I also would take their rules one step further. I would make it illegal to make any tackle when the helmet hits first. And people are going to be opposed to that. People are going to be against that. But here's what I know about the NFL players. These guys are the greatest athletes in the world. They're going to bitch and they're going to complain. In the first 4 preseason games, it's going to be impossible. You're going to see 32 flags. Then, 2 weeks in, you'll never remember they changed the rules because these guys adapt.
Yep, they'll adapt. They'll adjust. Now, it's interesting that you say that, Tony, when you say about these hits, helmet to helmet and stuff like that. Another thing the NFL needs to probably look at is targeting. And I want to go for two instances, for example. Juju Smith-Schuster on Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah.
He was trying to hurt him, Tony.
Yeah.
And in the, and so you take that situation. You also take the Jacksonville AFC Championship game. Brandon Carr on Rob Gronkowski. He was trying to hurt him. Now, yep. Different scenarios. Carr was trying to knock Gronk out the game to give his team an advantage. Smith-Schuster was looking for payback for all the dirty things that Vontaze Burfict has done. What should be done about targeting?
That's a hard thing because
you can't prove it.
That was football, you know, 10, 15 years ago, right? Yeah. Where you'd make a big hit. And the NFL is so hypocritical because they have highlight tapes of these hits and they sell them. Yeah. They promote them. But now with the player's safety, you're 100% right. If you, and this is going to become a problem because it's a judgment of a referee.
Yep.
If you come in and your intent is to injure someone, you should immediately be flagged. You should immediately be ejected from the game. And that's the way it is. And in both those situations, that would be the right call. The problem is, like the defender and the Rob Gronkowski, the guy's huge. You know,
you got to lay the wood to him.
And he was right because I immediately said, anyone that played football knows if a guy's big, you're not going to hit him high. You're going to hit him low because he's just too big. And the guy says, then if I hit him in the knees, people would have bitched and complained. And he's right. They would have bitched and complained anyway.
Yeah. But in that scenario, Tony, 15-yard penalty, AFC Championship game, Rob Gronkowski coming up the seam. You got a shot. You got to take it.
I agree. That's how football has it played. But now it's just gotten. I was like 10 years ago, I was like, these guys are so big and so fat. Like, we have 250-pound safeties now, right?
Mm-hmm.
That run 4.6, 4.7. Somebody's head's going to come off during a game. Like, it's going to be separated from their neck. And now we've got more and more, though, away from the helmet hits and things like that. And we're having injuries. But I, at one point, really thought someone's head, like, would be decapitated for real during a game.
Now, that would be something that nobody would want to watch on TV. So, hopefully, that never happens right there.
No.
All right. Next thing the NFL needs to work on, the catch rule. My thing this has got to be, don't overcomplicate the catch rule, Tony. Don't overcomplicate it. If it's a catch, it's a catch. If it's not, it's not. Don't talk about, a football move, possession. If you got possession 2 feet down, it's a touchdown. It's a catch.
Yeah.
That's it. Don't be like, the ball moved. He was making a football move. That's too much. The NFL needs to determine what a catch is.
I talked about this, right? I think they've gone so far that I think there's no turning back. Like, I don't know what you make the rule is. Like, if you make it as simple, you have to have possession and 2 feet down. That seems easy. Let's go with that. But how do we always seem to accomplish, like, all right, so if a guy has 1 foot in bounds and 1 foot out, of course, that's not a catch. So I think that's as easy as you make it, right?
Yeah.
You have 2 feet down and you have possession. It's a catch.
Roger Goodell said that he is going to make it an off-season priority to figure out the NFL catch rule. And another thing that the NFL needs to figure out this off-season, Tony, what they're going to do with the national anthem. 2 years ago, they got caught off guard by Colin Kaepernick. They shouldn't have got caught off guard this year.
No way. No way. And I'm going to tell you, I live in a town that affected the team big time. This is a military town. There's mm-hmm. two naval bases in Jacksonville, Florida. There's another there's an army base 30 miles up the road. People were season ticket holders since they were day one in Jacksonville. This team sucked for many years, and they were great this year, and people wouldn't go to the games because of the national anthem.
Do you think those fans really felt as if the players were looking at this as a slight towards the military?
That's the problem.
You really think they felt that way?
I think the players should have done a better job of explaining why they were going at it. Because, and I look at it the same way. I got to be honest. I look at it the same way. I grew up. And you know what? When you see guys wearing a hat during the national anthem, you'd freak out.
Yeah.
because people died in the military. And I always took it like that's what the national anthem's for. The national anthem's for the people that served in the military. You see military guards out there with the flag. So when Colin Kaepernick took it to the police, this is not something I'm familiar with. This is not something I'm accustomed to. So I think there are a lot of older people basically saw this as slight to the military.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people on the other side look at it as the military really has nothing to do with this, but I can see where you're coming from with that. This was I'm pretty certain, matter of fact, I was listening to Anki Johnson and Arian Foster yesterday. This was never an attack on the military or something like that, anything like that. This was something that the players were using, you know, their influence on social issues going on with the police and some of the communities that they come from. So I think it was a split and a divide in that. But listen, it started to take over too much of the content surrounding and circling the game. And I think the NFL, Roger Goodell, maybe with Malcolm Jenkins or whoever, they need to get a way to figure out how they're going to fix this so they don't go into another season. Can they make a rule where they say you have to stand for the national anthem? Well, then that looks like it's unconstitutional. Do you leave the teams inside for the national anthem? Then the fans don't like that because they say, okay, well, I know why you're leaving them inside for the national anthem. Or do you say, you know what, keep it as it is, keep it status quo, and then you still have these situations where season ticket holders are not going to these games, Tony. I think they got to come together and fix this. I think in the next collective bargaining agreement, they're going to make it a point to have everybody stand for the national anthem.
I think they will, too. And I think it's education, to tell you the truth. What happened in Jacksonville is they brought some of these military people to Jacksonville Stadium, right? Mm-hmm. And they met with the Jacksonville ownership, and they told them how it felt. And it seemed like it was all worked out. And then a couple players knelt in London. And then people became infuriated that these people are kneeling during our national anthem and then standing for the English national anthem.
I think what happened the week in London, Tony, was the week when Donald Trump had made the comments. And I think that's the week that it took place in London. So I think that has something to do with it. And I think Marshawn Lynch knelt in. Marshawn Lynch been sitting for this whole time in the NFL. He's never really stood for the national anthem. But I think that people looked at it that way. But what happened in London, I think, was more on the lines of, well, everybody, just about the whole, you saw Jerry Jones crazy. You saw Jerry Jones crazy ass. You know, you saw what he did that week after Trump ratcheted up those comments. So I think that's what happened in London, like you said, and that wasn't a good look either. So I think that was a situation right there. Because wasn't the owner with them that week too, for the Jaguars?
Yeah, and that's why, like, people were so pissed off because they had met with the owner, and then he's kneeling during the national anthem.
That was interesting. That was the one when Ray Lewis was kneeling on both knees. That was the same week. Poor Ray Lewis.
He gets himself in the media a lot. I think that's his goal a lot of times nowadays.
No doubt about that. So it's going to be interesting to see how they attack this national anthem thing, because I do think it needs to be fixed so we can start hearing less about it and more about what's taking place on the field. Speaking about what's taking place on the field and off the field, Tony, the Oakland Raiders got themselves into a situation this year where they blatantly disregarded the Rooney Rule. I understand going to go get your guy. John Gruden was their guy. So I get it. But my thing is, okay, we're going to go get our guy, period. Bottom line, end of story. We interviewed T. Martin. We interviewed a guy in-house. That's not the spirit of the rule. I understand that. But you wanted John Gruden. That was your guy. Go get your guy. But I fault the NFL for not punishing them for this.
Yeah, I go both ways on this, but a rule's a rule. You should be, if you don't follow it, you have to be punished. And if a rule's broken, you have to be punished. See, I can see teams, hey, we got our guy. I'm not going to go through the charade of bringing someone in here. But you know what? If a guy has that opportunity and he's all of a sudden linked to searches, then he gets linked to other searches. So I feel like they prevented what the spirit of the rule was, and they should be punished, even though someone was not going to get that job.
Yeah, definitely. So I feel as if the situation that took place right there with the Rooney Rule, with the Oakland Raiders, listen, that was their guy. They went and got their guy. I have no problem with that. But the NFL, you suspended Ezekiel Elliott for 6 games when everybody said nothing happened here. and then you let the Oakland Raiders off the hook. When we come back, talk about the finalists for a Basketball Hall of Fame. It's Fantasy Sports Today right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the program in there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day. Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Executive and Tony Sincotta taking you up to the top of the hour. Then we go a little Tout Wars, fantasy baseball, thought to get you ready for the upcoming season. Matter of fact, we do that every day right here on the network, beginning at, what, 6 a.m. Eastern Time, right, is when you and
The King,
Scott Angle, that's correct. That's when you and the King go on, 6 a.m., right?
Oh, absolutely. And every week we get you ready and tell you what's going on in the world of sports. Because you know what? You're on your way in, you can plug in the show in your car. And that way you know what's going on when you're the guy at the water cooler. And you don't look like the guy that was watching in the Hallmark movies with his wife.
You don't want to be that guy.
No, it happens. It happens every once in a while. So we get everybody fired up. You know, we were talking about that movie coming out this weekend. You know, everybody's in rave about, and people are all excited about going to movies and seeing the whole Black Panther situation. You're basically the Black Panther of Tout Wars.
Ah, the Black Panther, the Jackie Robinson, Tony. I am anything. I am a potpourri of services. I do it all for the tout. So good looking out to that. So last night we had our finalists announced. 13 finalists announced for the. I keep about to say the NBA Hall of Fame, but the NBA does not have a Hall of Fame. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame, and I think
it used to be the Naismith Hall of Fame. Is it still who is the creator of basketball?
I think it still is called the Naismith Hall of Fame. It is not. I think a lot of people, when they look at these players, they make a mistake because they talk about their NBA careers, Tony. But you really, when you talk about the Hall of Fame for the basketball, you have to look at these players' basketball careers. And I think that's what really makes it interesting. I want to start off with, I think, a guy that's a slam dunk first year on the ballot, and that's Ray Allen. I think Ray Allen is a Hall of Famer. A two-time NBA champion with the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. They hate him as a Celtic. One of the best 3-point shooters there is out there, right? But there ever will be. I think Ray Allen is a slam dunk for the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Of course, being a Celtics fan, he was a guy that came in and got it. But he was awesome in the Sonics. And I think that's actually going to help him, right? Because people don't remember the Seattle Supersonics. They'll get a guy in back in the day. The team no longer exists.
That is a good look. I didn't forget it. I didn't think about that. He was not at the Paul Pierce ceremony the other week, Tony. Why have they turned their back on him like that?
Because they were like the three that were together, and he left them when they thought they would, you know, go one more time and take a run, and he decided to go his own way. It was kind of bad look. And then he went to a team that you were going to compete against.
Okay, so that's why I can see that then. But I feel like
if he went
they should
to
let that go by
like,
now.
Yeah, if he went to the Brooklyn Nets, I think he'd be okay.
Okay, so it was the fact that he went to the Miami Heat and got into some more battles with his guys up there in Boston.
Yeah.
Up next on the list is Jason Kidd. I don't know if Jason Kidd's a first ballot guy. Now listen, Bay Area guy, mini All-Star games, 1995 NBA co-rookie of the year, champion with the Dallas Mavericks, 18-year NBA career. Now you see him doing his thing as a coach, but just recently got fired. I remember Jason Kidd as a dominant high school basketball player. Remember him a little bit from Cal when it was like the changing of the guard. It was going from Bobby Hurley to Jason Kidd in that NCAA tournament era back when those two guys were going at it. You think Jason Kidd's a lock?
I think he is. I don't know the particulars of like how many get in or like what percentage of the vote goes in, but yeah, I think he's a lock. I think when you look at the point guard position, he was seen at one of the tops in his era, a guy that could pass and distribute. Yeah, I think he's in.
Next up is Steve Nash, born in South Africa, raised in Canada, 19-year NBA career, MVP honors twice in 05 and 06, eight-time All-Star, three-time NBA first team, holds the record for highest career free throw percentage. What do you think about Steve Nash?
Little white guys getting in. They definitely people are going to put him in, and he was one of the top players for a long time in the NBA, and he's a notoriously great partier.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he supposedly, the NBA players, and they asked him which guy did the most dangerous stuff off the court, it was Steve Nash, and people were always amazed at how he was be able to come and play that night, but they said in the shoot-arounds, you could smell the alcohol coming out of him.
Shout out to Steve Nash, having a good time enjoying himself while he played professional basketball. Up next, Tony, is a coach, Rudy Tomjanovich. Tom Donovan's long time with the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
I believe he coached a couple of Olympic teams to gold medal victories. And if I'm not mistaken, Rudy Tomjanovich is the guy that caught that punch from Kermit Washington, right?
Yep. Kermit Washington punched him in the face, broke his jaw. You know what? It's hard to judge Coach because he didn't win like a bunch of championships or anything. So I don't think he gets in.
I think it's tough. Did he win in 90? He won with the Rockets in 94. Did they go back in 95?
One.
They just won one, right?
Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? The Kermit Washington thing is probably the
highlight of his.
Notorious.
I know.
Yeah.
It's crazy, right?
It's crazy.
Hate to say that. What about, do you take his international basketball, what he did with USA basketball, leading them to gold medals twice? Do you think that helps him get in?
Yeah. No, I think he's going to be out, but it might eventually get him in.
Yeah, basically what he did with those situations with USA basketball. Next one is an interesting one. Five-time NBA All-Star. I don't believe he's ever won a championship, but this is where I think you see where the college career may come into play a little bit also, or kind of what the player meant to the game or means to the game currently. And that's Chris Webber, Tony.
Yeah.
Maybe not the best NBA career for Chris Webber. He was on some good teams in Sacramento, but the Fab Five, Tony, was a cultural defining type basketball team. And him being a leader of that team, the timeout and all of that stuff, I think that might be enough for Chris Webber because of what he did for the game. As far as, put it like this, everybody that's in the NBA now, Tony, wanted to be like the Fab Five. They wanted to look like
Absolutely.
That. They wanted the baggy shorts, the black socks. The Fab Five set trends that are still going on now.
And let me first start off by channeling my inner Dr. Roto. This guy does a fine job speaking on TV. He's one of the better broadcasters of the former players. I love watching him.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tough one because he's certainly not in on his NBA career.
Yeah.
His NBA career, I think, was
Did
sort
he average
of a double-double? I mean, he was good, but I think the expectations because of how he played in college, that you expected him to be,
great.
You know, one of the top five players in the league, and he never really got there. He didn't play on a lot of good teams in the NBA, to tell you the truth, either. So I don't think he gets in. I think it's going to be close. I think it wouldn't shock me if he did get in, but I don't think he gets in.
Yeah, I don't think that maybe he doesn't get in on this go around. I think this might be his first time up. Maybe he has to wait a little bit before he gets in. I think eventually one day he could get in. But if he does get in, it's because of what he did for, like, today's game. Because people remember the Fab Five. They remember those. It was the Fab Five and it was the Running Rebels, Tony, where those were the teams that were, like, made kind of the NBA what they are today. And I think Chris Webber being a leader of that team and everything that happened and took place with that team, you know, a lot of it was negative, but I think so much that put such a strong influence on today's basketball that could be able to get him in.
Yeah, this is one we're going to have to wait and see because I would think that he doesn't get in, but it wouldn't shock me if he said, like, people don't realize that Michigan team, that was huge how big they were back in the day. And I think college basketball was bigger then. Like, the UNLV, Michigan, like, you had teams that were, like, sort of off the cuff. And now we just think the whole NBA is, you know, off the whole NCAA basketball situation. Everybody's getting paid. Everybody's on the take. And there are no bad guys. They're all bad guys.
You know, it's crazy because you talk about that. It's amazing how college football just killed college basketball. absolutely destroyed it, college football. And I understand the big money that comes into college football, but it really took away college basketball, and that wasn't right. Up next, Tony, is Grant Hill, 19-year NBA veteran.
I got to stop you for a second because you were talking, and we were talking a little bit about some of the social issues before.
Mm-hmm.
And our president seems to can't help himself.
He did something now?
He commented on the FBI's inability to stop the school shooter in Florida after it was reported on a couple occasions that this could be a problem.
Yeah.
And he should make a comment on this, but he took it too far again. He says that the FBI should have got this, and it's a shame they were spending so much time looking into Russia mingling in our election and missed this one.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that's one right there that he could have left out.
Yeah, like, you don't have, it's not us against the world every single thing, and you got to show some compassion for people.
Yeah, see, a situation like this, right, Tony, yeah, you got to be compassionate about it. You cannot tie these two things together. You can't tie the Russia thing with a school shooting, you know what I mean? And sometimes, you know, it's like, put the phone down, dog. Like, somebody should be in charge of his tweeting. Like, he need to have hire somebody that proofread this stuff for him before he makes these mistakes. I understand, leader of the free world, you have the opportunity to do kind of whatever you want, but you can't combine these two, Tony. That's a bad look.
He needs to get Alan Dershowitz. I think he's out of work, and maybe Alan Dershowitz could read his tweets before he sends them out.
He's going to get tore up for this one tomorrow on President's Day, so it's going to be interesting to see how that situation plays out. Not a good look. Not a good look at all. Up next, Tony, Grant Hill, 19-year veteran, co-rookie of the year. I believe that was with Jason Kidd back in the day. All-NBA team a couple times. And obviously the great career at Duke. You think about some of the highlights from Duke University. When I think of Grant Hill, I think of Duke. I don't think his NBA career, because he was never healthy as an NBA player.
But when he played in the NBA, he was good. Yeah. He was good. There's two guys that Grant Hill is similar to, him and Penny Hardaway.
Yeah.
They were both always hurt, but when they played, they were at the top of their game. I think he gets in, because you're right. At Duke, he was the man. It's a basketball Hall of Fame. I think he had a good enough NBA career of compiling 19 years together. I think he gets in.
Yeah, and I think it's going to help, like you say, when you talk about his college career also, not to mention the fact they beat that UNLV team. They were humongous underdogs in that game.
I was a UNLV fan back then. Like, Larry Johnson was my guy.
Yeah.
Anthony there. And Grant Hill's been an ambassador to the game. Like, his work on the NBA Network's going to come into play. And people say it should, you know, whether it should or shouldn't, it does. Everybody looks at him as, a great guy and a great spokesman. He has a lot of Ken Griffey Jr. in him.
Yeah, a lot of Derek Jeter, too. So I can see a situation where Grant Hill does get in. But guy like me, who was a fan of the Fab Five, rooted for the University of North Carolina, I can't stand Grant Hill. I really can't. I do. Grant Hill is one of my least favorite athletes. But I do think when you look at, man, Tony, if he was to be able to be healthy, his game was amazing. It was made for, like, the way the NBA changed, he fit perfectly in it.
Oh, absolutely. He's definitely one of the marquee guys. And it's funny, because a lot of those Duke guys were guys that were not great at the professional level.
Yep.
And he would have been.
He definitely would have been. Up next is Mo Cheeks. Maurice Cheeks is a guy that I think if he was going to get in, he would have been in already.
Yeah, and he was a pretty good player, to tell you the truth. So I was a Celtics fan, and Mo Cheeks, of course, was in the backcourt in Philadelphia, so I could get this guy playing a lot of rivalries. I kind of find it hard that he's not in, but I understand, because he wasn't like one of the best players at the time, but he played on a lot of good teams, and he was like one of the top players on a lot of good Philadelphia teams.
Yeah, so I agree, but I just think it's going to be a little bit tougher for the Chicago native Mo Cheeks to get in. And then you got a referee in Hugh Evans. Don't know what to tell you about Hugh Evans. I do not remember Hugh Evans being as a referee. When it comes to NBA referees, I remember guys like Dick Bavetta, and you know what I'm saying?
This is the problem. Why are we putting referees in the Hall of Fame? I'm not saying, but that this is going to inspire more and more of them to make themselves known.
There you go, right there. You're right about that, Tony. They do not need to be in the Hall of Fame. They don't even need a wing for referees. Finally, this is. If we have time, we'll get into the Women's Committee nominees. Don't want to leave that out. Charles Lefty Driesell. If I'm not mistaken,
no,
he was the coach for the Terrapins. He coached Maryland, right?
Yeah, he put them on probation. yeah, this guy was a crook.
Did he? I see where he said that he created the. He is the inventor of the Midnight Madness concept. Obviously, yeah. He's appeared in 21 postseason tournaments, 13 NCAA, 8 NITs. I don't know if he's ever won a championship. I would think that he's won a championship. Well, Maryland's championship came with Gary Williams.
Gary Williams, yeah.
So Gary Williams. I don't know if Lefty coach, what's the young man that died? I can't think his name.
Yeah, Lenny Bias. Yeah,
Lefty was his coach?
Yeah, and a lot of stuff came on the program after that. You know, a lot of the stuff that was put out there about some of the not good things happening at the University of Maryland.
So there you go right there, Lefty. I think it might be tough for you to get into the Basketball Hall of
Fame. It's kind of crazy. Like, that people – like, are people going to put Rick Pitino up there too and John Calipari? Like, these guys shouldn't be in any Hall of Fame. Like, these guys are – they need a gun and a mask.
You know what? Here's the thing. I think Calipari – they did that documentary on Calipari, the 30 for 30 on Calipari. Calipari is telling you he's a hustler. He's basically, yeah. Right in his face, he's telling you he's a hustler.
Yeah.
He's just telling you.
I love him.
He does, exactly. He's not even sugarcoating it no more, Tony.
But
he's,
you should put him in the Hall of Fame.
I remember a couple years ago, Calipari said, I'm not even coaching basketball right now. I'm just chilling with these guys. You know, kind of like making them through, helping them get to the NBA. I think that's what Calipari, people want to play for him, Tony, because he lets you play your style so you and give you the best chance to go to the NBA. But I don't he's a Hall
Lefty
of Famer.
Driesell at the end, Maryland paid him $886,000 to get rid of him.
Wow. They made him. They paid him to leave.
We could put him in the Hall of Fame.
So, would you put, what's my man in Syracuse name in the Hall of Fame? It escapes my memory
Jim
right
Boeheim?
Now. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. All of these guys.
These guys are crooks. Like, it's just like here's what happened. The mafia used to be big in gambling and taking bets, and you'd have a bookie in every bar and of every corner. And then the offshore accounts now took away all the bookies because people have money and they bet online, and that's the way to go. And all those former mafia and bookies are running the NCAA now, I think.
I can see that being the case also with these sneaker deals.
It's insane.
And do you think AAU guys eventually start getting into the Hall of Fame, or the AAU guys, crooks too?
Oh, they're the biggest. Like
Sonny Vaccaro and these guys?
Oh, yeah. We don't get paid to coach these teams because you're making $500, $500,000 a year from Nike, mm-hmm. another $250,000 from Adidas, and then, Jesus, like, it is so corrupt, it's crazy.
Tony, it was a good 2 hours. Good, fun show, my man.
We got everything in. We got the president, LeBron, and Laura Ingram.
And we did. And we talked about concussions, the national anthem.
Yeah.
Everything's been covered. Even that situation in Chicago last night. All right.
That's crazy.
Fantasy Sports Today, coming up next on the program is, right here on the network, is the Tout Wars Hour. For Tony Cicada, Fantasy Executive, we out.